2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great. University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
All right, welcome back. You want some insider scoop type stuff, you want to go ahead and subscribe to Cougar Tracks, the podcast. You go to kslsports.com, click on the podcast button. If you haven't already subscribed to KSL's Unrivaled, click on also the Cougar Tracks podcast. And Mitch Harper hosts Cougar Tracks podcast, also Cougar Sports Saturday, and is our BYU insider on kslsports.com. So you've kept quite busy during all this. And one of the contacts that you had during all this was Gary Croton. Is one of these guys that of course, you know, in his time at BYU, and I'm
coach of your era, like you being a student, the coach that you're during your time,
Bibbs and Croton. This was the time I was at BYU.
Yeah.
I want you to think about it. I mean, at least we got a couple NCAA tournament appearances out of Coach Cleave, you know, and the thing was that it was dark times for the football program. I mean, quarterbacks are getting injured. People were bad. You know, I did my senior year get my senior year. I got Becta Harlene. So there was that at least. Right. So you look at it and you go, OK, now that wasn't my senior year either. No, that was my I was already working here. Sorry. I get all it all. You know what? No good times at BYU for me. No, I'm trying to think because that would have been. Broncos' second year, right?
Yeah, 2006.
So 2005, he went
6-6. Yeah.
So when I was there for Broncos' first year, and it turned out okay.
Yeah.
And I think we all kind of knew. But Gary Croton was one of those characters that I think it's pretty easy to judge guys and just go, you weren't good. You went 12-2 in 2001, and then after that, you had some problems in the program. Things fell apart. You had a lot of injuries, losing seasons, which was weird for BYU football. People not showing up to games, which is even more weird. And as a student, when someone goes, I got a couple extra tickets to the game, and people go, nah, I'm good. That was weird. But Gary Croton is also one of these guys, after the fact, after you kind of got to know him, you went, oh, you were in a weird spot. Like, this was a weird time of transition. BYU had never – he was the guy replacing the guy, which we know that never – ends up, you want to be the guy replacing the guy who replaced the guy. You want to be Bronco Mendenhall,
right?
Who ended up being this guy who rolls in, gets a couple of big seasons after his 6-6 year, was the last guy to beat University of Utah. Now that's the guy you wanted to be.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. And I caught up with Croton for like a 30-minute interview, and it was fascinating. He's a fascinating individual to me because he's a football, brilliant football mind, and he's still holding it down in Pineview High School. He's going to coach there one more year. He said he might try and get back into college coaching. He wants to maybe give it another go. If it doesn't work out.
This kid was playing at Pineview, right?
And he's now a college quarterback, getting ready for his freshman year at Idaho, got a scholarship offer, was a walk-on offer at BYU. But, You know, it's interesting with Crone because his tenure, I think, kind of helped shape what eventually BYU would become in like the new era. He brought BYU football more into the 21st century because Lavelle Edwards, he was amazing. Lavelle was a legend, the greatest to ever do it at BYU. But towards the tail end, it was just kind of, it wasn't progressing. He was just kind of sticking to old methods, and the recruiting was slacking and lacking. And Crone had to bring the whole operation, like, he came from the NFL to BYU. He's like, this is, we got to bring this thing to the 21st century. Right. And he ruffled a little bit of feathers along the way, and it made for a tough dynamic for him. And personnel-wise, he didn't have the greatest talent after his first season, and it showed. But, you know, Crone was very innovative in a lot of different ways, and he hired talented coaches. He hired Bronco Mendenhall. He hired Kalani Sitake as a grad assistant. He hired Aaron Roderick, Ed Lamb. Like he got a lot of guys, and he saw a lot in young coaches, rising stars potentially in the profession who are still doing things now in college football. So it was a fascinating interview, and it was the craziest thing too, Alex, was I asked him about a story that I had heard that he was a finalist for the New England Patriots job. Before he got to BYU, he was a finalist with Bill Belichick for the New England Patriots job. Like, how crazy is that? Bill Belichick, one of the greatest coaches. Belichick
was with the Jets at the time.
He was with the Jets.
And that was a weird exit there.
Exactly. There was a legal, like, arbitration where Robert Kraft told Gary Crone, like, hey, if we can't legally pull this off with Belichick, just being transparent with you, if we can't get Belichick over here, he's our first choice. But if not, we're going to hire you.
Could you imagine?
And Crone, then I talked to him. I said, did you ever, like, through the 20 years Tom Brady was playing with the Patriots, did you ever sit back and go, that could have been me coaching this guy?
What'd he say?
He's like, yeah. He's like, I thought about it. Not going to lie. He also mentioned the podcast when he was with the Bears. He did an interview with Tom Brady at the NFL Combine. And he said
he was at the Bears as an OC in 99, 2000.
Yes, and he had Cade McNown, that guy from UCLA, part of that heralded 98 draft class. But they knew McNown was kind of starting to get into that bust territory, so they wanted to get maybe a young quarterback to give competition. They interviewed Tom Brady at the Combine, and Crone said, like, he lacked in physical attributes. They all know that, but mentally he was just so advanced. And
wow.
It's a fascinating interview, and Crone just has a lot of connections to the football world, and I think that a lot of fans look at his tenure and go, it was a failure, but I think it almost was just set up to fail because there wasn't that support to really embrace modern college football.
Timeline-wise, so after BYU, goes to Oregon. Mm-hmm. He's the OC there. Goes to LSU after Oregon.
Wins the national title in 2007.
Was he the OC at that point?
Yeah, he was the OC.
So he's the OC. They win the national championship with Nick Saban.
Les Miles.
No, that's a Les Miles.
And that was their best offense up until this past year that LSU's ever had in 2007.
And then Joe Burrow shows up and throws 158 touchdowns. So, man, I'm trying to think. So
then he
after
had the
LSU,
CFL and all that.
Right. So then he goes up to the CFL. At one point, you see him coaching down here at SUU. And then goes to Pineview, coaches his kid there. I think people look at that and they go, well, Gary Crotone, he just fell off the face of the planet, and he turned out he was no good. This is a guy who changed offenses in the NFL, at the NFL level. And that's why people like this guy, because he changed offenses in the NFL. So was the BYU thing, do you think it was more of a function of him inheriting the program from Lavelle Edwards, that he was already done a year or two before that, where it was like, look, leaves the cupboards bare, and you know, aside from guys that were playing right then, but recruiting wise, where he has to pick up, and on top of all that, there were a lot of bad things happening in the program too. Guys were getting in trouble, and that's the kind of stuff that gets people above your athletic director looking at the program, and you don't want that.
Yeah, and I think even Crone acknowledged in the podcast, he said the one thing he would have changed was that he couldn't just be a football coach. At BYU, and that's a lesson that applies to Kalani Sitake today. And I think when people say, well, why isn't Kalani delivering the great recruits?
It doesn't matter how much you're told that or how much you've been at BYU, it shocks the heck out of you.
Exactly.
When you roll in there.
And Crone realized that, and because he was all about football, 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 and he even said in the podcast that he didn't like thank the administrators enough and form those relationships at a deep enough level. And he follows BYU football today. I mean, he's still a BYU football fan. He thinks Kalani is the right man for the job. And he's someone that really has a strong connection to BYU despite some of those hurdles that he faced as a head coach, and someone I think, honestly, BYU fans should look back and go, you know, the guy was pretty innovative for his time. It was just maybe a little bit too soon when he said he was following the legend.
We got to play a little bit of music here, and I got to get some business done here. Some of our amazing NFL tunes. Our buy or sell segment for the last minute here brought to you by Online Trading Academy. Get a free 3-hour trading online training. Just go to tradingacademy.com, tradingacademy.com. Very quickly here, here's how it works, Mitch. I say you're going to buy or sell something, so I'll just go quick here. Very quickly. Are you buying or selling Ja Morant saying that he's the rookie of the year over Zion Williams?
Buy. I'm buying that. Ja Morant. I'm buying that.
What has Zion done except for just been a big, giant hype machine? And I can't emphasize enough the word giant. Big and giant.
Those po' boys down in Louisiana are good, man.
A couple beignets short of 300.
I'm buying that.
I'm buying it, too. So... The NFL's voting. I'm going with the fourth and 15 play to replace the onside kick. You buying it?
I'm selling that. I'm a traditionalist with that. I want to see the onside kick.
Oh, you want to see the 2% shot?
I still want to see that.
Being able to get it.
I'm down with that.
Okay.
I'm a traditionalist.
He's a traditionalist. He's Mitch Harper. Mitch, thanks for hanging out with
us
tonight.
Hey, happy to do it.
Taking the break here.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.